Sometimes, when people hear my accent, they'll ask where I'm from. It's not an easy answer. The place I call home is East Jerusalem. I hold a travel document, not a passport, from Israel, and a visa to be here. I am stateless. In the eyes of the government, I barely exist. When I was growing up in East Jerusalem, I often asked my grandmother where we came from. My family spoke Arabic at home, but we lived in a Jewish country that spoke Hebrew. My grandmother called these other people our cousins, since they did not share our language or our faith. But what we did share was a great ancestor from the Bible called Ibrahim, or Abraham. Our cousins were the descendants of Isaac in the Bible. We were Christian Palestinians, the descendants of Ishmael, Isaac's brother. My grandmother told me that when she was living in another city called Haifa, my grandfather came home one day in a panic. "We have to leave," he said. "They're blowing up the other villages, and it's only a matter of time before they come for us in our village." She grabbed what little she could from their home, and they took the first train headed south. But as the port city in northern Israel, or Palestine at that time, faded in the distance, they heard explosions on that train. They jumped off and landed in Jerusalem. It was 1948, the year of the first Arab-Israeli conflict. My grandparents were internally displaced Arabs, though not quite refugees, because they did not cross to another neighboring country. When I asked my father why Jerusalem was divided into East and West, he told me a story about being 13 years old and playing in the street. "I remember seeing Jordanian tanks, and my friends and I, we hid," he said. "We heard gunfire, but when we came out again, there were bullet shells. I had never seen them before, so I kept them. I thought it was cool. I heard them say it was the end of the war, and we saw the Jordanian troops withdraw. It was 1967. We never saw Jordanians in East Jerusalem again," he said. But the threat of violence never ended. By 1990, almost all Israeli houses had bomb shelters, but Arab houses did not. So my parents had to create their own with what they called the Saddam Hussein duct tape during the Gulf War. My mom would wake us up in the middle of the night to go to that makeshift bomb shelter with duct tape sealed windows. My sisters and I had to wear gas masks that were too heavy to keep up on our faces, and they would fog up around our eyes. We'd play pretend games with the masks and eat special snacks. When the air raid siren sounded several nights a week, I heard my dad tell my mom, in Arabic, "Don't wake up the kids. If a missile is going to fall on us, we will die. There's nothing else to do. No gas mask will save us. What's going to happen is going to happen. The only one who can take our lives is the one who gave them to us, Allah, God." My mother stayed up and worried what would happen to us as she listened to the news on the radio. We slept through the night, through the wailing sirens, while my father sat outside. He smoked his hookah, staring up at that sky. Now, when I call my sister, asking her how she is doing back in Jerusalem, how things have been, since things don't look too good on the news, they never do, I hear her puff on her own hookah pipe, and she tells me, "What's going to happen is going to happen. God, Allah, is the only one who can take away a life when it's time, so don't worry." Somehow, hearing her repeat my dad's word does not comfort me at all while I am far away here in the States. Only when I return home again and want to use the trains and buses do I have to face my own fear and live in Jerusalem. And in so doing, I accept kismet, fate. What's meant to be will take place regardless. I worry, I'm scared to use buses, public transportations. What if someone decides they want to blow themselves up or stab someone on the train? I ask an American friend on the phone while I'm in Jerusalem. He is what I consider a cousin, as my grandmother used to call the Jewish people. "They're always trying to kill us," said my Jewish American friend, referring to Arabs trying to kill Jews. "You have to live life. You go on the train, and if it happens, oh well, we live despite fear." It seems that I have more in common with my cousins than history or ancestry. There is a Semitic mentality that says, God, Allah, Hashem, gives and takes away. None of this is yours to begin with. I didn't leave East Jerusalem to seek safety. I was a medical student about to graduate when I found out I was matched with the residency program in Iowa to train in psychiatry and family medicine. There's just one problem. I need to get a visa to go, and I need to get a letter from my government to be granted that visa. No country would give me that letter since I do not belong to any of the countries. Israel didn't consider me a citizen. After all, I was not Jewish. Jordan wouldn't claim me because they withdrew from Jerusalem in 1967. And the Palestinian Authority, well, there was nothing in my papers anywhere that I said I was Palestinian. After talking to my dad about how I couldn't get that letter, he told me, it's not meant to be. He took another sip of his hookah. Yes, not meant to be. Maybe I should just start smoking hookah myself. At the time, I began to look at medical training elsewhere until my last rotation of medical school in dermatology. The dermatologist teaching us asked each one of us medical students where we were going to train in the United States. When it came my turn, I told him I was supposed to go to the University of Iowa, but I couldn't get a letter to get the visa. This physician, another cousin, looked at me. I remember you, he said. Didn't you bring me that Sudanese refugee last year to take a look at his skin? And we diagnosed him with psoriasis? Yeah, I don't know what happened to him, I said. I got him the medication that you recommended and never saw him again. You see, the year before, there was a crisis of Sudanese refugees who crossed over to Israel from Egypt. And since I spoke Arabic, I volunteered to translate for the Israeli physicians. The refugee was one of them that I took to dermatologist Dr. Vardy. Well, I misdiagnosed him, Dr. Vardy said. He had river night blindness. I was at the Dead Sea, and he was working there when I ran into him, and then his symptoms, they fit. And I treated him, he got better, and he's still at the Dead Sea. So river night blindness can look like psoriasis, I asked him. Interesting. Then I proceeded to explain to my cousin, Dr. Vardy, that I probably was not going to go to the States because no government would claim me and give me the letter. That's easy, he said. I know who can write you the letter in the Israeli government. Do you have someone who can pick up that letter in West Jerusalem? I called my dad in East Jerusalem. He picked up the letter the same day. I got my visa and I came to Iowa. Shortly after that, my father was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer and passed away. I never saw Dr. Vardy or the Sudanese refugee again. Yes, Iowa. That's what Iowa means in Arabic. Yes, God, Allah, gives and takes away. None of this is yours to begin with, including visas, travel documents, or even stories. In the end, we're all visitors here. And as Baba Ramdas says, we're all just walking each other home.
This story was shared at Ode's Live Storytelling event in November on the condition of anonymity. The storyteller was concerned about government retribution upon returning to East Jerusalem. Ode is a storytelling series where community members tell true stories on stage to promote positive impact through empathy. It is produced by Siouxland Public Media. The next event is 7 p.m. Friday at B Studio in downtown Sioux City. The theme is Be Moved, an ode to transitions and transformations. To learn more, find Ode on Facebook. You can also listen to past stories we have broadcast at kwit.org. The music you're hearing is by Edom Soul Music out of Omaha. For Siouxland Public Media, I'm Allie Carson.
If I fall, I fall out. part of my disguise. If I fall, I fall out, up into the sky. Please don't ask me why. It's part of my disguise. Thank you.